Eric, how you doing, man?
I can't. You hear me?
I
No.
can. Yeah, I can hear you.
I gotta find the volume. Oh. There you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Yeah,
On now.
you're good.
Okay. Very discouraging to hear that the selectmen haven't talked about this.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Nice artwork in the back.
Huh?
Nice artwork over your right shoulder.
Oh, that was my
Oh,
granddaughter.
the other shoulder.
The other shoulder.
Yeah.
That was my granddaughter when she was little. She's 19 now.
Not so little anymore.
Not so little anymore, but we still have it hanging here.
Erica sent an email back to the selectmen, or actually to Pam and Jim, basically saying, hey, I guess we don't need to rush. I got no response.
You're kind. You didn't want me to do that, send that email. And I understand this is being recorded, so hopefully they'll get my picture. Let me see, set up a little bit. There we go.
Well, Karen's supposed to clip it off because the meeting hasn't officially opened yet.
I can't do it.
Oh, you can't clip it off?
No,
Okay.
it's done in the office.
And there's no way to turn it off, right? There's no way to turn the recording off.
No.
How do we deal with if we wanted to go to the executive session?
Say that again.
If we wanted to go to executive session to talk about like costs and that sort of thing. Because that was actually one of the questions I asked of the selectmen. I didn't ask how to do it on Zoom, but if we wanted to.
Now we have to ask Kathy.
Okay.
But why do you have to go into executive session for that? Usually it has to do with personnel.
You know, if we're talking about costs and that sort of thing, you don't necessarily want them to hear what our estimates are before, like when we get time to, you know, select bidding, you know, on the bidding phase of things.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And not only that, but we don't want, you know, if we're having in discussions in reference to who we're going to select for the consultants, you don't necessarily want all that on there.
Yep. Because this is public, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
We'll figure it out when we get there. When, if.
I'm hopefully I'll still be around for that, but as fast as they're moving.
They must have another plan to put the truck somewhere.
They are. They're going to, you watch, they're going to put that truck inside that existing firehouse and move something else out.
Hi.
Mr. Toomey, how are we doing?
Good, good.
I see no earthquakes lately.
No, thank God. After 30 years, we've learned not to cry over broken glass.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff there, isn't there?
That's a small percentage.
Did anybody hear anything from Quan, Sherry, Stacy?
No.
We technically need one more, right? One, two, three.
Yeah.
Did you send an agenda, Jeff?
I did.
Yeah. I didn't. I never got it.
Last Wednesday.
Yeah, I didn't. Never made it to me. I couldn't open.
I should probably. Did I send it as a Word document, John?
Hold on. Let me pull it back up. Wait a sec.
Yeah, I sent it as a Word document. Eric, you don't have Microsoft Word?
Yeah, I do.
You do.
But you know, I use my phone a lot, so maybe that's part of the problem.
I just pulled it up on my phone. The Word document does display on my, but it's a fairly.
Yeah, you're definitely on the list, Eric.
I'll have to look into that. Find out what I did.
How'd you know when it was Zoom meeting versus in person?
Eric, is your email elunttga@gmail.com?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, because you're on here.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that I. It
doesn't mean you got it. Oh, I know.
I got the email that said it was attached and everything, but
can't read it? Oh.
What kind of phone? You had a Samsung phone or Apple phone?
I got an Apple.
Should open, right? You know, I've never tried to open it with my phone.
No, my phone is.
I've actually never had I shouldn't say never, but I pretty much don't have a problem opening up documents.
I'll try to remember sending. Can you open PDF files on your phone?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try to remember to print them as PDFs first.
PDF files are easy on my phone though, but sometimes Word documents I can't. I don't know why.
Yeah.
How do we get better participation at these meetings?
I don't know.
I really don't know.
Well, you could do like they're doing for teachers, get offer them $1,000 if they no, I'm not kidding.
What are they offering to what this is recorded, Eric? Careful, what are they offering to teachers? I hear they're quitting in mass.
Well, it's volunteers, so that's a tough one.
That's a tough one, you're volunteering. You know, perhaps at some point, maybe calling them on the phone, talking to them, you know. There's.
I tried that, but nobody picks up their phone. They don't recognize my phone. They don't recognize my number, and then they don't call me. I leave a message, they don't call back.
I'm going to help you out here.
Well,
when you call the number of a person, push *67 and then dial their phone in. Your name won't come up. It'll say something to effect unavailable, meaning the person that's calling their name, *67.
Got it.
But you can't do it on a pre-programmed number. You have to dial it out.
You know, manually dial, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You'd be surprised how many people pick up that phone.
Really? If my phone rings and it says unavailable, mute. I don't know.
Yeah, if it's just a phone number that I don't recognize, I wait to see if there's a message.
It doesn't come up saying potential spam or anything like that.
No, mine never does that. I'm sorry. It has a couple times said spam, potential spam.
Does it?
Yeah, it's only been a couple times. The ones that bother get me is both my attorney and my eye doctor both come in as no caller ID. But now I know better. I figured, it's got to be one of the two.
Well, if you put them in your contact list on your phone,
yeah,
it will show up even if they block it.
Right.
Maybe in those offices they have different numbers that different people call out on.
Very possible.
That could very well be what they have. You know, especially those people that have four or five lines coming in.
Yeah.
I think that's why, because they come in as, you know, no caller ID. And I've just learned after all these years to just answer it. It's always been one or the other. But everybody else comes either as usually just the phone number comes up.
I got a call from Texas today. They didn't leave a message. They didn't leave a message, so it wasn't important.
Your personal public radio.
Okay, we're not going to wait anymore. We really can't have an official meeting, but we can definitely have some discussions. Call this meeting to order. In attendance is myself, John, and Eric. Karen's here as well to take minutes. Skipping past. Anybody in the audience want to say anything? Anybody attendees? Meeting minutes can't do anything. No correspondence. The only correspondence that I have was an email from me going over to Jim Rupert and Selectman Sawyer inquiring about whether they met regarding what we're trying to do here, and they didn't. They're not meeting till 17th of this month.
What's the normal schedule meeting date? I thought it was.
They got a special meeting because it's like a subcommittee.
Yeah. The normal meeting is the first Tuesday of the month.
So they've already met.
Yes, but they have a breakout meeting for talking about the buildings and the miscellaneous other stuff in town.
The longer this goes, the more likely they're going to have a fire truck outside.
Yep. No, they'll park the new one inside and they'll move something else out.
Yeah, that's almost as good, but that's really not good.
No, we can only do what we can do. I put, you know, we rushed through, put a bunch of stuff in front of them, and they, you know, not much has happened at this point. Okay.
It's basically been 3 months.
Karen, you haven't received any other miscellaneous correspondence, have you?
No.
You want to say anything as part of the presentation or discussions?
No.
Okay.
Nothing with you.
Firehouse discussion. I got two things that I did not formally put on the agenda, but I thought might be prudent to discuss. Has to do, once we select, or once we get the solicitations out, basically the evaluation criteria in the solicitation for the consultant that's going to help us. You know, we got a couple different criteria that we broke down by percentages. Cover letter understanding approach is one piece. Experience, qualifications, and availability of key staff was another piece. Sample projects. And then their fee breakdown, you know, for a total score of 100. So what I wanted to do today was really just kind of go through some general things that we might want to consider when we're looking at the cover letter understanding approach. So cover letter, it's limited to one page. And typically a cover letter should kind of summarize who they are and what they're about. Generally, you know, I do a lot of cover letters for type proposals. And that's kind of what happens in them. But the important piece of the is the understanding approach. And from an understanding approach, they're limited to 3 pages, which is kind of short, but we don't want to read hundreds of pages of stuff. Mm. Eric, you look concerned.
You do or you don't?
Don't.
You don't, no.
No, we don't.
No.
You know, we have no idea if we get 10 of these things and are, you know, a couple hundred pages long, you're never going to want to go through them.
No.
You know, so, you know, they have to be concise. And one of the couple thoughts I had is, you know, did they demonstrate they know what we want and their understanding? You know, nope. And do they clearly articulate how they're going to proceed and work with us? You know, because that's why we're hiring them, to work directly with us. You know, as part of the criteria to, you know, select them. And they need to demonstrate availability, because there's, you know, I've seen in the past that, you know, firms propose people and they're not available. So they kind of give you the bait and switch. You know, and since we're only need a small team from whoever we select, when we select the people, we want those people. We don't have to give somebody else, you know, right, after we sign a contract with them. You know, so that's kind of the things they need to demonstrate, at least from my approach, at least from my understanding. Is there anything else you guys want to, you know, throw on the table, you know, for the understanding approach that you guys want to, you know, talk about or might want to know or see in their paperwork?
No, that pretty much gives the tone of what this whole inquiry is about, from what you're saying.
Right.
I mean, we're not writing a book.
No, we definitely don't want to write a book. And then one of the most important piece is the experience of the staff that they're proposing.
Yeah, I want to see what their education is, what their practical experience is, and any projects that are similar, right, or if they've done firehouses.
Yeah, so as part of that experience qualifications, there's a standard federal form. It's called an SF-330. Mm-hmm. And it's a standardized form, and it basically, you know, lays out, so everybody's resume will kind of look pretty much the same. So it makes it very easy to compare. And if you could put two resumes from two different firms side by side and said, okay, this guy's got 20 years experience, this guy's got 25 years experience. Mm-hmm. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 firehouses. This guy's got 2, but he's got a lot of other good experience. You can very easy to compare them. Yeah. So it's a standardized form. And then within that form, there's a table which basically gives you each staff person they're proposing. So when we're asking for 3, and then there'll be a part of the table to be checkboxes with projects. So we can identify who worked on which projects, because they give us sample projects that they worked on. So at a glance, you can say, okay, these 3 people worked on all 7 jobs that they showed us. Or here's 3 people, they haven't worked on any of their sample projects. At a glance, you get an idea of what they've worked on, even before you look at the projects. There's some other little miscellaneous stuff in there, like some of the right federal ID numbers and a couple other minor things, but it's not a big deal. It's not really part of the score. And from a resume standpoint, you know, like John indicated, what have they done? How many years of experience? What kind of education do they have? You know, do they have firehouses? You know, do they have any special training? Does the team have all the components that we think we're going to need to help us? You know, we're probably going to need an architect. You're probably going to need some kind of mechanical, electrical, you know, some kind of general engineer that can handle electrical, fire protection, all the other codes, and possibly one other person, maybe a structural or something else. That's up to them to tell us what they think we need.
Yeah, and it's good to know whether they've constructed brand new firehouses or if they've done renovations or expansions or whatever you want to call
it. And that should come across.
That's important to be able to know who to contact and what type of technical person.
Right. And that should come across. Yeah, that should come across in their approach. That should come across in their resumes, and that should come across in their project experiences. That they hopefully, if it doesn't come across, then they didn't do a very good job, or they're not qualified.
Hopefully,
Where are you asking for that? Right.
Yes. I'm just want to talk about what we want to see in this stuff. So when we make a selection, we're not all kind of confused, like And everybody's turning to me, well, Jeff, what do you want? You know, we're a team here.
Yeah, but you know that, you got backing up just for a minute, that form you were talking about?
Yes.
We didn't ask for that form.
We did.
Or we did.
Yes, we did.
I didn't go over that whole thing again.
Well, yeah,
that's helpful.
It's in there.
Good.
Yeah, it's definitely in there. We can go through that. We can go through the solicitation if you want.
No. Nah. Okay. We did that.
Okay, just keep going, right?
No, we already did that, and I think we all agreed to put it before the selectmen. We had like one or two changes or something.
Yeah. And then there's one more piece of the SF330. There's a Section H. And Section H basically is anything they want to add that we didn't specifically ask for. Mm-hmm. You know, they could, whatever they want to put on Section H. But that's limited to 3 pages.
Wow. They won't.
Oh, they'll fill up 3 pages, I guarantee.
Really?
100%. I bet you $1,000, right? 10-1 odds. I'll give you 10-1 odds, like $1,000.
Okay.
They'll fill up every page. And then the last major thing is the example projects. And again, since I didn't want to read through hundreds of pages of stuff, I basically said, okay, give us 7 projects, 7 example projects that you think are relevant to what we're trying to do, and get to limit those to a couple pages each. You know, what was the project? What was your role? Contact or the reference information. So we can call people up if we can check their references. Dollar values we typically see in those things. How big was the project? You know, if somebody shows us a sample project and it's $3 million and it's a renovation, it's a rural town, you know, design build. Oh, that's a perfect job. Matches almost exactly what we're doing. Somebody shows us a $15 million brand spanking new firehouse in the middle of Boston. It's relevant experience, but really not what we're trying to do.
Right.
Then I had some
thoughts. Too much.
Go ahead, John. John, you were breaking up.
Would it be too much to ask if standing still standing? I'm just kidding.
Well, you can ask the reference.
Yeah.
If it's not still standing, he probably wouldn't put it down as an example project.
Yeah.
You know, and then for the example projects, I had some thoughts, you know, is it a quality project? Is it relevant based on size, similarity, complexities? Is the scope of work that they did for the project similar to what we want from them? You know, if they did all the design work and it was typical design, bid, build, it's relevant, but not exactly what we're looking for from the consultant. Because what we're looking for the consultant is help us develop a design build package. Right. So the project where they helped another client design to build, you know, prepare a design build package, that's extremely relevant. Let's see, similar type of town, area, size of the building. Does it include renovations? Did they sub a lot of the work out for in-house, or was it mostly in-house capabilities is important on the project examples? Does the project include all aspects of the project and planning, based, you know, development, based technical concept, based technical specifications? Do they have a combined team of architects and engineers with the expertise related to the thing? Did they provide contact information for references? So that's kind of my thoughts on the example projects, what we should see in the things. And then there's a miscellaneous. Did they follow all the directions? Yeah, because there's some specific information there. Hey, we want resumes 2 pages, no more. We want 7 projects, no more than 2 pages. We want at least font 10 on all the documents. So they'll make it like font 8 or micro. Yeah. Is the package look professionally well prepared? Is there, you know, errors and omissions in the thing? Do you believe what they're saying? You know, you read a proposal and if you get a funny feeling, it's like, yeah, this doesn't sound right. You know, yeah. Some general miscellaneous. Do you feel like you can work with these people? And the last piece is really how do we score the fee and the costs? It's really a question mark. You know, we can compare the fees to each other, but we're not telling them how many hours. You know, so comparing costs is going to be difficult. Are their hourly rates acceptable? Are they in line with their competitors? But you got to be careful with that too, is because they might be proposing a company principal that does nothing but firehouses, and the guy's super expensive, but you're paying for his experience versus somebody that's less experienced and less senior. So, you know, costs is kind of one of these things that's hard to compare. Yeah. You know, especially on a, you know, kind of because our scope is kind of open-ended at this point.
But how can you give them a time, hours?
We
don't even know what.
No, we don't. So somebody's probably going to come back. We may have to tighten up our solicitation on the fees and say, hey, give us hourly rates that you propose to bill us at, and tell us what you want for direct costs. You know, we don't know what the direct costs are going to be, but, you know, if they're coming from, I don't know, say a firm responds out of Chicago. And they say, hey, you know, we may want to meet you. What's your cost to get here?
And why would we be concerned about that?
Because direct costs for travel are usually billed to the client, yeah, on engineering architecture.
But you haven't hired them yet.
No, but we want to know going in. So if we really like a firm, hypothetically, we really like a firm out of Chicago. They're really great. We like their experience. It's all super relevant. Their three-person team is available. They all have a great experience. They've helped develop design build projects for firehouses in small podunk towns like Bolton. They're the team that we want. And you see they want $10,000 for every meeting to come in from Chicago if you want face-to-face meetings. That could be a deal breaker.
That's called. There's a word for that.
Billable hours.
you just want to know what kind of direct costs they want to charge us for.
But okay, the first meeting around, if it's as you're saying, Jeff, to me, and I did this in business, that's what you call cost of doing business.
If we interview them, if we get 15, we shortlisted the 3 or 4. We're going to interview them in person. We'll rescore a short list of people.
Yeah. Right.
And that's cost of doing business.
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, yeah. But once we hire them, if we decide we want to meet in person, or they say, okay, part of the scope is you got to go walk through the building and look at all the mechanical, electrical, fire protection, all the other systems in the building and tell us what needs to be upgraded. They got to travel from Chicago to here. That's a cost. Either they build it in their hourly fee and you pay them every hour, or they build it as a direct cost. We just want to know how they want to get paid.
Yeah.
We'll make a decision from there.
Okay.
Like I said, billable hours are important.
Yeah.
We need to know.
Yeah. What, you know, they could be, you know, they could be really great and cheap or really great and super, super expensive. And like, yeah, we just can't afford these people.
Right.
And that's kind of it. I just kind of wanted to go through that really on the, you know, just to kind of a little bit of discussion on thoughts of, you know, how we actually, you know, when we get these packages, how you actually score them.
Yeah.
And it's going to be truly, it's going to be individual, you know, Eric, you're going to get your pile of packages. You're going to go through them independently and score them.
Yep.
And then, you know, collect all the scores, we'll tabulate them, and the numbers are the numbers. Unless we see that they're wildly different.
Yeah.
You know, if we get six of the committee or commission score them and we get one person that's way off compared to everybody else, you know, might be some discussion. And okay, Eric, you know, you scored this guy really high. Everybody else scored him like mediocre, right in the middle. What are you seeing that we didn't see? But other than that, you know, nobody's going to twist your arm to change your score. The only thing, other thing on my list to really talk about is we got to start developing a list of potential consultants. You know, and I know some kind of local people, but I don't know if they deal with fire protection. But whatever sources you want to use to, you know, come up with a list, and we'll just create a list, and you know, we will advertise in the newspapers. But if, you know, we want fire protection specialists, might be prudent to send them directly to, you know, people that we know have that capabilities.
Jim Rupert should be able to help you on that.
Yeah, but I think as a team that, you know, we can at least start a list.
All right.
But
what about the fire chief?
Yeah, we can ask the chief to do it too. That's a good idea.
I'm not so sure he would have that, but you know.
You know, he's a resourceful guy. He may jump on the internet like the rest of us.
Yeah.
He certainly knows who to ask if he doesn't
understand
something or know something. Or
you know, and the chief had mentioned in the past other chiefs in the Eastern Connecticut that's worked on firehouses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They have names and stuff of people.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
But are we stepping our bounds there? The selectmen haven't even approved what we're
soliciting
the verbiage.
They haven't said, you know, I just want to kind of try to keep going, even if we, you know, we have to wait for them.
Well, here's my thought too, is, you know, it seems to be four people in this committee. And that's it. Mm. Well, doing a commission for many years, I found that when the people are like to be involved or get involved, when they see that there's an outcome, there's an ending, there's something. And for the selectmen to keep dragging along, people are, you know what I mean, Jeff? They're just going to sit there and go, well, why bother?
The selectmen? I have that same concern, but honestly, I'm not there yet.
Because
once they okay the solicitations, I don't know how much info we need from them until we get to the point where they get to sign a contract.
Well, all the documents that you did in this committee agreed upon are in their hands.
Yes.
And?
But when we get comments back from them and they say, okay, here's the solicitation, it's going to be up to us and the town to do the advertisements
right.
and solicitations to whoever we want to send it to. So I think it behooves us as a commission to create a list, or at least assist the town in creating a list. Because if they just advertise in the JI, we're not going to get any responses.
No, we can't. No. My daughter works for an architectural firm. She does this stuff day in and day out. And they bill for every second that their computer is logged onto their project or whatever they're doing. I mean, there's associations, names I can get from her, probably, that you could, the town of Bolton could send and solicit the person you're looking for the fire regulations, what we need to be looking at. I mean, it obviously this person or whoever responds to it is going to want to, you know, they'll do a freebie the first intro, and then after that, they're going to charge it by the minute.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I expect to, you know, to be a bill.
Yeah. So I mean, her firm has done stuff like this. They have an engineer that they use that's done, I believe, but just to get for the fire protection part of it, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Just the fire protection part of it. That's what you're asking about now, right?
Well, at the end of the day, we're going to have two solicitations. The first one is for us to consultant to work with us to develop the design build or design bid package. The second one would be design build teams, which would be a contractor and a architect engineer team.
Right. But you just asked about getting somebody that is more knowledgeable about
correct
the codes and what's
yes.
expected.
Yes.
That's three. That's a different thing altogether, right?
No, but
the way I'm understanding the way you're explaining
it. Okay, maybe there's a little bit of confusion here. I got to make sure there's no confusion. The consultant that we need needs to have firehouse experience. Part of their team needs to have experience with firehouse mechanical systems, whether it's air handling systems, it's the electrical, it's the communications, everything that's in the firehouse. They need some kind of, the team's got to consist of at least those two components, plus an architect. Okay.
Yep.
That team has to help us create the specifications on what we want to do to the firehouse. So they're going to say, okay, we want to, you know, part of the final, they're going to help us develop a package for the design build teams. So okay, that defines what the design build teams have to create. Okay. We want to add one bay onto this firehouse. The bay is going to be X feet long by X feet wide. We want to replace the roof. We want to upgrade the windows. We want to define the renovations inside.
And masonry.
You know, whatever we've done in the building.
Yeah.
Into the building.
But that's part of the consultant.
Yes.
So we can't do that now until the selectmen approve.
Correct. Correct.
So, I mean, you can. Are you looking for places to send your inquiry to, as far
correct.
As?
Yes.
Okay. Not
yes.
actual individuals or companies.
It could be individual companies. If we could create a list and we say, okay, we know that WSP, which is a very large firm, huge company in the U.S. They got a local office in Glastonbury. WSP, we know they have the qualifications. We can send them a solicitation. It may not respond to it, but that's one of them. Other firms that are, AECOM is another giant firm. We can also, if we do some internet research, or the chief has, firms that's all they do is firehouses. we may want to directly solicit to them. Plus the general solicitation to the general engineering architecture population.
Or there's associations that these firms belong to.
That's a very good suggestion.
They get most of their bids through these associations.
Yes. That's a very good suggestion, Eric.
Yeah. So I'll ask my daughters if there's any out there associations. See if she comes up with anything.
I really think the town, because this is a pretty specialized project. I think the wider net the town casts, the better we're going to be, because we need a decent number of responses, because if we get two responses, I mean, there's not much to pick from.
No.
We don't want 100 responses, but we definitely want more than, you know, a few. We want to be able to, you know, review them and pick what we think is the best for us.
Yeah.
Because if we only get two, then, you know, there's not much to pick from.
I'm hoping that maybe the chief knows different fire departments that are volunteer that have had to go through this process.
Yeah.
I think that'd be the best way. But I mean, we can talk about this, what we've been talking about, you know, forever, but I think maybe we should go to the meeting with the board, with the committee of the Board of Selectmen on the 17th.
I asked them to let me know when the meeting is, when they haven't given me anything official. This is kind of word of mouth from Jim. He says, "Oh, the meeting's supposed to be the 17th. Well, I said, you know, when they have an agenda, let me know.
But is it going to be a Zoom meeting or in person?
I don't know.
Maybe you might want to formalize it a little bit and send an email to all of us and to the Board of Selectmen. Just to say.
That
we would like to be there to answer any questions, as it's, you know, I don't think we need to tell them that it's taken this damn long for them to do anything after they've gotten our request in May.
John, I like the word damn long.
I was being polite. Because this is an awfully long time for them to have our request. I think we got that ready for the May meeting. And the next meeting, next full Board of Selectmen meeting is September.
That's right, the first Tuesday.
Whatever the first Tuesday of September is.
Yeah.
So the way I see it now, they're building the committee or the breakout group for the building part of this Board of Selectmen is middle of this month.
Yep.
I don't know if they can actually make a decision without putting in front of the full board.
I'm pretty sure they can't. They have to bring it to the full board.
They bring it to the full board. Now brings us to September.
Yep.
They meet before or after us. They meet after us.
Whenever the first Tuesday is.
Yeah.
We meet on the second Tuesday.
Right. Okay. So that time we might, but by the time we do anything with it, we're probably looking at October, November.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It is.
Isn't it?
Yep.
And you wonder why people don't get involved. It's nothing there's no blame game here on anybody in this committee. I'm just saying, you know, history, I'm going by history that I've experienced, and this is a perfect example of how.
You know, what's the saying? Wheels of government turn slowly.
Ours stopped.
According to the list, they're not having another meeting until September 6th, unless they do a special meeting.
Yeah, that's their next regular Board of Selectmen meeting.
Yeah,
it's September 6th.
It's also the day after Labor Day, so you know.
Yeah,
who knows how prepared they'll be after the long holiday weekend.
And then we meet on this 13th.
Yep.
Unless we have a special meeting.
Yep. And you know, I'm happy to say that this is just how we've done things in town. I've seen this going on for 55, 60 years. And this is how we do it. And
No, I mean, it's not, it's, you know, I've dealt with a lot of towns before. This is not that unusual.
No,
I figured, you know, honestly, I figured they would have a little bit more emphasis to keep it moving when we know the fire truck's coming in the spring.
Well, sometimes it's going to get wet.
So I have nothing else on the on this piece of the agenda. Firehouse discussion. I don't have anything else. You guys got anything else you want to talk about at this point?
Well, here's the other thing. By statutes, state, they have to have on their regular meeting a open forum for anybody.
Yeah, they always do.
Yeah, that's a state statute. We can ask for our name to be put, our committee to be put on that.
Yeah, they, if I ask to be put on the agenda, they'll put us on the agenda. That's not a problem.
We can be, yeah, we can be a separate agenda item all by ourselves, yeah. And we can also discuss.
And they bump us to the front of the list. At least they have with me in the past a couple times.
So
I will ask to be put on the agenda for not only the subcommittee, but their regular agenda.
Yeah.
Right.
For August and September.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it.
Number 7 on our agenda, new business, anything new?
Oh.
Okay.
I will say this, the 9th of September, mm-hmm. I won't be at this meet, this whether it's Zoom or in person.
You mean the 13th? September the 13th.
Oh, it's the 13th?
Yeah.
The 2nd. I don't
have to count. You're talking August.
Yeah, I'm just thinking today's the 9th, but okay. 13th, I'll be here.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have to try to keep 13th because I'm going to be on vacation in Vermont.
On the 13th?
If we do Zoom, you guys are okay with Zoom, right?
Yeah.
But Jeff, it's your vacation.
I'll keep it short. It's an hour.
Can't we pick another day?
No. It's good. I'm okay. It's okay. Yeah. I was on vacation last week in Rhode Island, and I spent 3 mornings practicing for a presentation we had to give on the next week when I came back. It's, you got to do what you got to do. It's okay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. It's okay. Either that, I have the vice chair run the meeting.
Ooh. John, perfect. Hey man, let me see. Yeah,
I don't believe I'd be happy to if I was the one that was elected, but unfortunately, the minutes would reflect something different.
Eric, you gonna change your mind about talking to me not doing a vacation?
No, I am. Today's the 9th, right?
Okay. No new business. Public forum. Anybody from the public want to make any comments? Nothing. Eric.
None.
I'm done.
Motion to adjourn, Eric.
I motion to adjourn.
Well, I John, think we'll second it. Sure.
Okay. Meeting's over.
Okay.
You got to vote. All in favor.
No, you don't. No, you don't. It's rule. You don't have to actually vote.
No, you don't.
And you just need a first and second. That's it.
In fact,
you don't even need a first and second. The chairman can just close it.
The chair can just declare the meeting is adjourned unless somebody objects. The Robert's rule is this.
That's why you vote because you don't. If you don't vote, you're not giving a person to the right to object to the motion.
Does anybody? Okay, we'll accept the motion. You guys, any all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any abstainers?
Oh.
Any nays? Let the vote show that everybody voted.
That's Robert's rule.
No. I'm gonna highlight the section and photocopy it for you, Eric.
I do the same, but mine's from 1984.
mine's pretty old, but it's okay. They don't change too much.
Well, we actually had that in high school. Our English teacher at Walton High gave a whole section of Robert's Rules.
Yep. How many students fell asleep?
I have no idea, but I appreciate the fact that it was done. because it's been a, you know, half a century. It's been, it's constantly come in handy.
Right. Karen, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Enjoy your evening.
You too, all of you.
Eric and John, good night.
Yeah. All right.
It's called entertainment. Remember that.
Yeah, fun times.
All right.
We try. Guys.
Yeah.
Eric, I'll see you tomorrow, right?
Who?
Don't we have planning and zoning tomorrow?
I'm not on PM.
Oh, that's right. I miss you, Eric.
You can still go.
Yeah, you should go.
I'd like to talk to you. I read something in the paper, but I can't talk to you about it because there's an application. But I they doing Zoom, right?
Yeah.
That's wrong. That's absolutely wrong.
That we're Zooming it?
Yeah, because people, how can they see the documents, the prints?
Most,
on your screen.
Yeah, most commissions have all the documents as an electronic document, and whoever controls the meeting can share the screen and just pull up that document. It pops right on the screen.
Can you read type six font on the screen? Very hard.
There we go.
Here, can you see my screen?
Barely.
Just, you know, ask me to zoom in.
I'd have to blow that up. It's in blue, number one, which is very hard to see. But
you need a better monitor, Eric.
Oh, there we go. No, I don't need a better monitor.
with that, have a good night, everybody.
All right, see you guys.
Eric, if you want to talk about something that's not related to this commission, you can call me.
All right.
Yeah, I'll catch you later.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.